All right, diving right in today. We're tackling a topic I know you're really interested in.
Okay, yeah.
PTSD. And, as always, we've got some really interesting stuff to dig into from this text you sent over. Honestly, I was kind of surprised by how common PTSD is.
Yeah, it's definitely more widespread than people realize.
Right. And the thing is, it feels like so many people, myself included, maybe before this, don't really get it. Like what it actually is, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true.
So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to unpack it, not just so you know more, but because, like, think about it. If we all got better at spotting the signs, we could do a way better job of supporting people who are going through it, right? Maybe even ourselves.
Absolutely. That's so important. And I think a good place to start is just by making sure we're all on the same page about like what PTSD actually is.
Yeah, for
You
sure.
hear the term tossed around a lot, but what does it really mean? So like simply put, post-traumatic stress disorder, it's a mental health condition, and it can develop after someone goes through or even witnesses something traumatic.
Okay.
And it's more than just feeling shaken up for a bit. PTSD has this like lasting impact, you know,
Yeah.
really affects your mental and emotional well-being.
So one thing that helped me, I gotta say, was seeing how this source broke down the symptoms into like three main categories, because it really helped me understand, wow, this is complex.
Right. It's not just one thing.
Yeah.
That framework is really helpful, I think.
Yeah.
And the first category is all about re-experiencing the trauma.
Okay.
So even though logically, the event is over,
Right.
for someone with PTSD, their mind might keep replaying it.
Oh, wow.
And this can happen through intrusive memories. It can be super vivid nightmares or even flashbacks that feel so real, like it's happening again.
Oh, gosh.
It's as if their brain is just stuck. It's like this loop. They can't escape.
So their brain can't move on, even though
Oh,
it's
exactly.
exactly the event's passed.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because neurologically, there's actually stuff happening too.
Really?
Yeah, so the amygdala, that's a part of our brain that handles emotions, especially fear. It goes into overdrive for people with PTSD.
Wow,
It's like
that's
it's stuck on high alert.
so it's not just like they should be able to get over it.
Right, exactly.
There are actual like physical changes in how their brain's working.
Yeah, it's a real physiological
Okay,
response.
that's heavy. Then you've got this whole avoidance thing, which honestly, at first glance, you're like, well, duh, who'd want to relive that?
Yeah.
But the reading made it clear, avoidance runs way deeper.
It definitely does.
It's not that simple.
Right. And while it starts off as a way to cope, to protect themselves,
Yeah, it makes sense.
it can become a huge problem
Okay.
because people with PTSD, they might start avoiding all kinds of things, places, people, even conversations.
Anything that might bring it up.
Exactly. Anything that could trigger those painful memories. So it's like they're always on guard, always trying to dodge those emotional landmines.
That's such a good way to put it, yeah.
And sadly, this avoidance, it doesn't actually help them heal.
No, it probably makes it harder.
It does. It can keep them trapped in this cycle of fear.
Yeah, they're trying to protect themselves,
Then
but
it backfires.
they end up more isolated, huh?
Exactly.
And the source mentioned that it can even lead to feeling like emotionally numb or really disconnected from other people.
Yeah, which brings us to the third category, the changes in mood and thinking.
Right. Okay.
And this can manifest in so many different ways. You might see someone who's constantly on edge, or they have trouble focusing, or, little things make them jump.
Yeah.
They might have trouble sleeping, or they're dealing with a lot of guilt, shame even, or they just lose interest in stuff they used to love.
Gosh, that's a lot.
It is. Trauma can really reshape a person's whole outlook,
Yeah.
how they see themselves, how they see the world.
Yeah, it makes sense that they'd feel negative, hopeless even.
And that's the thing. It's not just about the event itself. It's how that trauma changes their whole experience of life.
So how do we connect this to our own lives? Like, why should the listener care about all this?
Because recognizing these signs in ourselves, in the people around us, it's crucial.
Yeah, it's like we might see someone who's irritable or jumpy
Right.
and just figure, oh, they're having a bad day. We don't even think about PTSD.
Yeah, exactly. It's about looking deeper.
Okay, so say I do notice these signs. How do I even start that conversation? It feels, I don't know, kind of delicate.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. You have to be sensitive. But like, imagine you have a coworker. This person used to be so upbeat, engaged, but lately they're withdrawn,
Okay.
easily irritated. They seem on edge all the time, startled by the slightest thing.
Right.
Now, instead of jumping to conclusions, right, Think about it. Could these be signs of PTSD?
Yeah, you're right.
And approaching them with empathy, with concern, not judgment, that can make all the difference in the world.
So not what's wrong with you.
Exactly.
Or like, what might they be going through?
Yeah, and offering support, it doesn't mean you have to have all the answers.
Oh, good point.
Just listening without judgment, letting them know you care, that you see them, that their feelings are valid.
Yeah, that's huge.
That can be so powerful.
Just creating that space for them.
Exactly. A safe space.
Right.
Where they can open up if and when they're ready.
That's a good point. What about like professional help? The text mentioned PTSD is treatable.
Right.
But it didn't really go into detail.
Well, and this is important. Seeking help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength.
For sure.
And there are effective treatments out there for PTSD. Therapies like trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay.
Or EMDR.
EMDR.
That stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Wow. Okay.
And these have really been shown to work. Plus, support groups, those can be so valuable.
Yeah.
They help people feel less alone, you know, like they're part of a community that understands.
Right, like they're not the only ones going through this.
Exactly.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive into PTSD, what would you say are the big takeaways for our listener? Like, what do you really want them to walk away with?
Well, I think the biggest one is this. Understanding PTSD, it goes way beyond just knowing the clinical definition.
Right.
It's about recognizing the profound impact trauma has on people.
Yeah.
It's realizing that PTSD, it doesn't look the same for everyone.
Yeah.
And there's no one-size-fits-all way to spot it or to help someone who's struggling with it.
It's about seeing the person, not just the symptoms.
Exactly.
And I think what you said earlier really stuck with me, too, that, you know, things we might just see as normal behaviors.
Uh-huh.
Like having trouble sleeping, being jumpy, snapping at people.
Right, everyday stuff.
Could actually be signs that something much deeper is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I want people to think about. Like, going forward, how might understanding PTSD change how you interact with someone who, say, startles easily or seems irritable?
Yeah.
Could it maybe inspire you to be a little more patient, more understanding, more supportive?
It's a good question. It really is. And I hope, you know, this deep dive has made you curious to keep learning about PTSD. Mm-hmm. Because like we said at the start, knowledge is power. The more we know, the better we can break down stigma and create a world where everyone feels seen and supported.
That's the goal.
Absolutely.